Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Since 2003, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has been charged with leading the national effort to secure the homeland, protecting the country from terrorists and instruments of terror, while at the same time fostering the country's economic security through lawful trade and travel. In meeting this mission, DHS relies on a focused procurement and acquisition strategy. It is about having the ability to deliver mission capability effectively through the contracting of critical supplies and services. Maintaining effective contracting operations and acquisition management requires continued support and reinforcement. DHS acquisition professionals, like most in the federal government, are challenged with delivering contracting solutions that yield improved performance and reduced cost under increasingly tight budgets and staffing constraints. What is DHS's acquisition strategy? What are the key procurement and acquisition challenges facing DHS? And how is DHS improving the operational performance of its acquisition and procurement functions? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Hi, Nick. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
Great to be back.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Angela Carrington. Angela, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, Nick.
So, Nick, could you tell us a little bit about the mission of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, in particular, its Office of Chief Procurement Officer?
Yeah. It's pretty easy to understand. Department of Homeland Security to protect the United States, bounce back from disasters. Specifically, procurement is buying things to meet that mission, doing it at the least cost to the taxpayer while fulfilling a ton of public policy, probably the one that most people understand is achieving small business goals.
Mm-hmm. So with such a critically important mission, I want to get a sense of the operational scope that you support. Your mission support function is critically important for DHS to meet its mission. So how is the department organized? You give a little high-level view of that, the size of its budget, maybe sort of an approximation, the number of FTEs or full-time employees?
Yeah. So from a very macro perspective of DHS itself, roughly about 230,000 employees. Located geographically spread out throughout the United States, total budget of about $60 billion. And then to put in perspective procurement within that budget, we spend about $18 billion a year, $18 billion out of the $60 billion.
Mm-hmm. And how many components do you actually support, or how does that work? How does that structurally work?
So there's a number of components. There's what we call kind of the big seven components, and then there are other components that are in the headquarters. All of them receive procurement support. Mm-hmm. Kind of looking at it through procurement, we have 9 contracting offices. 7 of them are embedded within components, so Coast Guard, TSA, FEMA. There's 7 of those. And then we have 2 that support headquarters, all headquarters buying, and then 1 that supports classified buying. So 9 contracting offices, 1,400 contracting professionals, about 100,000 buying transactions, totaling $18 billion a year.
So, Nick, now that you've talked about kind of the broader picture, can you talk about some of your specific responsibilities as the DHS Chief Procurement Officer and kind of how you do work with the components in supporting the mission?
So anything buying or contracting is essentially my responsibility. I oversee the 9 contracting offices, and I actually have directly reporting to me 2 out of the 9 contracting offices. So $18 billion spent, about half of that directly reports to me. The way I oversee is annually I have a goal and priority letter that I issue to each one of the heads of the 9 contracting offices. That lays out against some metrics that I've established, some performance metrics, how I would like them to perform throughout the year. I issue that in the beginning of the fiscal year. Then in the middle of the year, we have a mid-year checkpoint. And then in the fourth quarter, we're watching all of these metrics throughout the year. The metrics are tied to my 4 priorities, and my 4 priorities are you got to have quality people in contracting to do quality contracting, and we have to define that and have metrics in that area. We're not at DHS just to award contracts. We're at DHS to protect the country. We do that through our programs. Many of our programs are supported by contracts. So my 3rd priority is anything I can do to improve the area of program management, I do. I happen to be responsible for training the entire acquisition workforce. So that's one big area where I'm influencing the success of programs. And then finally, if you're spending $18 billion a year, and you are one of the top 7 spending agencies in government that spend 90% of the $500 billion, then you should be communicating with industry. So quality people to do quality contracting, anything we can do to support the quality of our programs, and finally, quality industry government communication. Those are my 4 priorities, supported by a number of metrics, all tied into a strategic plan. And since I've been at DHS for 3 years, we've issued 2 annual progress reports against the strategic plan, all available on the internet, by the way.
And it's very insightful, actually. It went into our developing the questions for today. Nick, with those priorities, what are your top, say, 3 challenges, management challenges that you face? And in a sense, how have you sought to address those challenges?
So the challenges line up maybe not coincidentally with my priorities. And sort of the first challenge that we have in the procurement world and then in the broader acquisition world is really a people challenge. Uh-huh. We have got roughly about 36% or so of our workforce, and so that's the 1,400 contracting folks, who are hovering around retirement eligibility. Getting recruiting the next generation, training them up to be as experienced, given the complexity of the contracting that we do and the increasing complexity of contracting overall is one major challenge. The second one is constantly proving through metrics that we're actually getting a good deal for the American taxpayer. And then I would say the third challenge, which is always there, we're doing a number of things to try to improve it, but it's really a journey. It's almost not a destination, and that's doing things to improve communicating with industry. We can't communicate enough, and the environmental factors and just the things that happen within government make it very, very challenging to be perfect every single time in every procurement when we want to communicate with industry. But that's our intention.
So you've talked about challenges, and often when you have challenges, there can be unanticipated surprises. And so kind of to that end, can you tell us what has been, you know, maybe your biggest surprise since you took on your current role, if any?
Yeah, no, that was well stated. I would say at this stage, 3.5 years in, there aren't any surprises really for me. And I hope that gives people some sense of comfort that somebody in a leadership role would pretty much be able to handle almost anything that's coming at them. I will tell you this. Being in DHS and being the chief procurement officer is essentially like being in a Star Wars movie where everything is coming at you. And I wouldn't say that that's a surprise. It's just understanding the environment and then creating a system of wonderful people around you, a plan, a strategic plan to deal with all of the different things coming at you. Again, I wouldn't say this is a surprise, but one thing that is very interesting at DHS is just the number of stakeholders and folks that are scrutinizing everything and the number of inquiries, all of which are well intended. But at the end of the day, you also have to get your work done.
Mm-hmm. So, Nick, given your experience, I was wondering what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
I grew up in family business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my parents came here in 1961 with only $5 in their pocket and through college scholarships. And I grew up in what are nursery schools. So I share all that to say the traits of an effective leader in my mind are the same in the private sector as they are in the public sector. And it essentially boils down to this, I think. I think the number one thing is to try to be likable. But outside of that, it's coming up with a plan that essentially treats employees very well so that your employee satisfaction is high. Satisfied employees will then serve customers very well, and therefore you will have high customer satisfaction. All of those two things in tandem should drive business results that are supported by performance metrics that tell a story. So the story, for instance, in my line of business, in procurement at DHS, is our wonderful 1,400 out of 230,000, 240,000 employees doing 100,000 transactions are buying things to protect the United States of America at the least cost to the taxpayer, and we can describe that by metrics, while fulfilling public policy, and we can describe that by metrics. One of them that stands out in my mind is 4 consecutive years of earning an A on the Small Business Administration scorecard in how we're doing in contracting with small businesses, you know, who are the kind of the job engine here in the United States.
So, Nick, who's influenced you in your leadership style and management approach? And I know we talked about this when we were coming in. You're an avid tennis player. And how has your sports mentality factored into your work life?
The two interesting questions. I would say, who's influenced me in terms of leadership? I would say almost everybody that I come in contact with. Well, let me just start out by saying my parents, yes. Clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, coming with nothing, building businesses, being very successful, living the American dream, no better example of leadership. And I guess the other thing I would say, though, is I learned leadership from almost everybody around me, because leadership is really situational. Mm-hmm. We could be in a situation right now, and one of us would take the lead based on our past knowledge of whatever circumstance we're facing right now. So I think just observing people in various situations, you can learn about leadership. So I would say it's a constant journey for me. So I'm constantly observing folks, taking what I think works and adding it into, you know, my style. Here's how tennis went for me. When I first started competing 20 years ago, you know, I went to a tournament. There were 32 guys in the draw. I ended up playing, not knowing much about anything, and I ended up losing. The second time I entered a tournament, same thing, I lost. Third time I entered a tournament, I lost. And then finally I realized several things. Number one is the discipline to get in shape and exercise and never have that become an excuse. The second thing was strategy, to look at your opponent and understand the weakness and only go at the weakness once you understood that strategy. And the third thing was environment, understanding which way the sun was pointing, the wind, and all of the factors about the court. Once you understand all that together and you play a match, you become very, very formidable. Mm-hmm. It reduces most of the risks, and the probabilities of winning rise. And from there, I was lucky enough to place first in more than 100 local tennis tournaments over about a 20-year period.
What is the Department of Homeland Security's acquisition strategy? We will ask Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.